Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's a Patrick and Jeremy show, part two of free speech, because this is the Patrick and Jeremy show, part two. And I think we speak freely. I think we do a good job of that. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the shekels, read the address. Oh, what is that address? Oh, guess what? Make out your checks or money orders to RBN and send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Round Rock, Texas, Suite 302. Zip code is, oh, I guess the Suite 302 came before Round Rock, Texas. Zip code 78664. How did I do, Jeremy?
You got an A. And they can also call in a debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3.
All right. Well, that sounds good. And after 5.5 years, is it 6 years? 5.5 years, I finally got it memorized. So there you go. You can teach an old boomer new tricks. All right. So I watched Tucker Carlson last night. And when I say last night, I mean Monday night. And then this morning, it's pretty interesting. There's some good stuff. Nothing that if you were a listener to the Patrick and Jeremy show over the past couple of years, nothing new. And if you were even a casual peruser of nationalbugle.com and saw the videos that we have up there, videos we have up there are even better. But still, getting this information in front of the Fox News crowd, the people who are old and don't even know how to use the tubes of the internet, it's useful. This morning, a 93-year-old friend of mine called me up, and he was saying, oh, I saw Tucker Carlson last night, and I thought of you. And she wanted to talk about it. So we did talk about it. She doesn't know how to use the internet. She doesn't even know what an internet is. So this is getting information in front of people. Did you see the show on Monday night, Jeremy?
I have not been watching Tucker Carlson, no. But I know that on Tuesday night, he was supposed to expose the Capitol January 6th videos. And that was supposed to be significant.
Well, that's what he did some of that on Monday. He did some of that on Monday. He showed the QAnon shaman just walking very calmly around, being escorted apparently by police. What he was showing is from security cameras. And of course, the security cameras, I don't think they have audio. I know that whenever security camera footage was shown by the networks or by the January 6th committee, they dubbed in riot sounds. They dubbed it in. I mean, it was just to make it dramatic. And because they're phonies and liars. So he showed that. He showed the QAnon guy. But, you know, there's, okay, and then what else did he show? He showed a person who he claims, and I don't doubt it, he claims it was Brian Sicknick, the police officer who died of a stroke the following day, but showed him inside the Capitol, walking around, directing traffic to an extent, very much alive, even though the networks had repeatedly said that he died by being bludgeoned outside the Capitol earlier in the day. Okay, he clearly hadn't been bludgeoned to death. So he showed that. What else did he show? Oh, he showed Ray Epps. And Ray Epps was at the Capitol half an hour after he had, at a time, which was half an hour later than the time that he told the January 6th committee that he had left the Capitol grounds. He said he'd you know, he tweeted something to, not tweeted, texted something to his nephew, I believe, saying, bragging that he had orchestrated everything. And it was at, like, at the text was at 2:10 p.m. And he told the committee, oh, well, I was already back at my hotel by then, as if that would somehow make a difference. But indeed, he was at the, he was seen at the Capitol lawn like at 2:30 or 2:40. Does that, how earth-shaking does this sound?
Well, earth-shaking. I mean, the fact that they're willing to let these videos out tells me that they have nothing to worry about. So even though they may get the public awareness of it, they're not afraid of the public. And the real question is, what's going to be done? And I would suggest to you, nothing. Just like the Clintons weren't brought to justice, nothing that Obama did, nothing that the Bidens did that was on Hunter Biden's laptop. And no, I'm not talking about the crack smoking and the underage hooker or whatever that was. I'm talking about the dirty deals with the energy corporations in Ukraine. All could be found on the laptop. None of that was exposed. Nobody's brought to justice. So I'm submitting to you that they're letting this out to give the public a little pressure release to make them think that there's something being done, but nothing's going to be done. I do not think that any justice will be done regarding January 6th. Am I too blackpilled?
I don't think you're too blackpilled. I mean, what I'm just trying to evaluate this, and for somebody like Kevin McCarthy to for his attitude to reflect what you just described, that's very plausible. Here's the thing. What was released was security camera footage, okay? So what you're seeing is from usually from high angles, because security cameras are usually up by the ceiling, and so you're seeing this kind of stuff, and the security cameras are stationary, so they're just, it's stationary, people walking into frame, people walking out of frame. But the thing is, okay, so it's 40,000 hours worth. How much of it is interesting? I'm sure there's some good, interesting stuff there. But there was, how many thousands of hours worth of video was there that was taken by people on the site? Because remember, there were hundreds of thousands of people who came to the Capitol grounds. And there were probably, I mean, there were many hundreds, perhaps a few thousands, who went into the Capitol, and these people were all taking video. So there's tons and tons, certainly thousands of hours of, many, many thousands of hours of video that's already available that we've been looking at and talking about for the past 26 months. And, you know, here's one of the things. So Tucker Carlson, he was mentioning Ashley Babbitt, and he said that none of the security camera footage captured what happened there. Okay, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe none of the security, I actually find that kind of hard to believe, but maybe that's true. But there were four videos that were taken, four people who had cell phones were taking, well, three people had cell phones, and then John Sullivan, the black Antifa, Black Lives Matter guy, who was there with his white girlfriend or apparent girlfriend, who was his camera crew. I mean, they took even a kind of professional style video. So there were four videos taken of Ashley Babbitt being shot. So there's plenty out there. And he's even shown a little bit of it before. But there's plenty out there. And so for him to say that there's no security camera video of Ashley Babbitt being shot may technically be true, but the fact is there's plenty of video from four different angles. So it's very clear what happened with her. And the fishiest thing, you know, you could look at that and say she was a 5'1" woman, maybe 110 pounds or something, and wasn't armed and shouldn't have been seen as being dangerous and clearly murdered. Or some people might want to say, well, she was climbing through a window in the midst of a riot. She was committing a crime in the midst of a riot, and so it was justified to shoot her. Whatever. But the weird thing that is undeniably weird is before she crawled through that window, you had this guy, you had two guys breaking the window. One guy in particular who was breaking it with a helmet, who then he stepped aside. Ashley Babbitt started to climb through the window, was immediately shot, and then this guy, this doorway was at the top of some stairs, a flight of stairs. He walked about three steps down the stairs, and this was all captured on video. This is seconds after somebody just got shot, and he calmly pulls out, takes his helmet, puts it in a backpack, takes some stuff out of the backpack, changes his shirt, walks away with Capitol Police. I mean, there are Capitol Police right there. He was in the middle of several Capitol Police while he's doing this. Explain that.
Very bizarre. So first of all, they shot Ashley Babbitt and they didn't shoot at the men breaking the windows. let's give the security police there in the Capitol the benefit of the doubt and say that they thought they were protecting whatever. I would shoot at the people doing the damage first. I mean, you can shoot through the window, through the broken window especially. You know, so if the scenario was Capitol Police opened fire, shot everybody, and Ashley Babbitt was caught in the middle, I mean, that would be believable. But they targeted Ashley Babbitt. And as you mentioned, there are Capitol Police watching the men break the windows from the back. Mm-hmm. Like they were behind, right? And no arrests were made on the scene. Now, I want to clarify something that I said on my Monday night broadcast. I didn't know of any people breaking windows that were arrested. I did Google this, men who broke Capitol windows, and, you know, beside Ashley Babbitt on January 6th. And you get, from Washington Post, Chad Jones charged with breaking windows that Ashley Babbitt tried to climb through. Chad Jones was arrested and spent some time in jail. There was a guy from Kentucky, NBC News, family tips off FBI to Capitol rioter who smashed windows where Ashley Babbitt climbed through. You can pull these articles. So there were some men arrested breaking windows. So there's that. So there were some guys arrested. I don't know the full details or how true all of that is or what. I'm just pulling up articles based on that Google search of Capitol windows and standing Ashley Babbitt on January 6th. There were some men arrested. They weren't arrested on the spot. They were tracked down. So it is bizarre that they targeted her and they didn't shoot at the guys breaking the windows, number one. And number two, it's bizarre that the Capitol Police standing close to the men didn't arrest them, even though they were actually breaking the windows. So I still stand by my theory that these window breakers were agents provocateurs. And sure, they were arrested, but like what kind of deals were they cut? I mean, from what I read from the articles, they only spent months in prison. And that's about it.
Okay.
So there's many other people that just walked in, you know, didn't get this kind of.
Now, were these two people that you said were arrested and you gave their names, were they the two people that were breaking the, I believe it was the windows to the, to Nancy Pelosi's, you know, the House Speaker's suite.
These were two, according to the articles, in proximity of Ashley Babbitt. Chad Jones was charged. He broke the window that Ashley Babbitt climbed through. And this is Washington Post, January 17th, 2021. And the indication from the articles is that they came after these men after the fact. They had to hunt them down. They didn't arrest them on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's bizarre. I mean, it's all bizarre. I want to bring up something. Well, I'll give you a chance to elaborate on that particular point that the men were not arrested on. But also, well, I want to bring up. Go ahead and do that. Elaborate on that.
Well, I was asking the question about these men. Now, if the two of them were identified and arrested, you could make the argument that with thousands of people walking around in the Capitol, or at least several hundred, and hundreds of thousands around the Capitol, and tensions being very high, that the police may have felt as if they couldn't take actions, right? You could make that case. Of course, I mean, nobody's been identified as having, none of the people walking around the Capitol has been identified as bearing arms, right? Being armed with anything other than flagpoles. And typically, if you've got, I mean, how many Capitol police were there? Was it 100? Was it, I don't know what the force was, but even if the police are outnumbered by 10 to 1 or 20 to 1, but they're the people with guns, okay, whatever. I'm not a police officer. Even if this article was saying that these two people were arrested, I'd never heard of that, and you would think that would be a big deal. What I'm getting at, like with this Tucker thing, and you're indicating that like this could just be some sort of pressure release valve operation, and this. You know, the thing is, if Tucker's that interested in what went on January 6th, why didn't he ever cover this? Why doesn't he even mention that there are four different angles, of the, Ashley Babbitt being shot? Why has he never mentioned these window breakers? Did they get arrested? That's the first I've ever heard. There's like almost a news blackout on so many things. And if these actually are the people who broke those windows and they actually did get arrested, have they been in jail long? I mean, there's a lot of things that we're not hearing, but there's also an awful lot of evidence that's already out there, which gets suppressed, which gets removed from YouTube. So, okay, you had more that you wanted to say, though.
Yeah, I mean, then when you pull up that Google search that I just mentioned. Let me bring it up again. Google search, the men who broke Capitol windows by Ashley Babbitt on January 6th. That was my exact Google search. And you pull up these articles, Chad Jones charged with breaking the window that Ashley Babbitt tried to climb through. And you got another guy from Kentucky charged with smashing the windows. These people were hunted down after the fact. All right, they weren't arrested on the spot. And the person that shot Ashley Babbitt is Lieutenant Michael Byrd, a black man. And they interviewed him on NBC News, and he says that he saved countless lives by shooting her, which, again, is very bizarre that he shot at her and not at the, and not also at the men breaking the windows. That's kind of bizarre. So if I'm going to put this all together, and this is my take on it, is that the Capitol Police were told to stand back and let the people break the windows. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is my theory. This is not in the news. This is not official. My theory. They were told to stand back. This Michael Byrd, a black man, freaked out, shot at the person coming through the window, the little white woman, Air Force veteran, Ashley Babbitt.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Okay, this is my theory. This is not in the news. This is not official. My theory. They were told to stand back. This Michael Byrd, a black man, freaked out, shot at the person coming through the window. The little white woman, Air Force veteran, Ashley Babbitt, killed her. And then they had to scramble, and they eventually arrested these men breaking the windows because they knew that would look really shady. You know, mm-hmm. That's my take on it, is that this Michael Byrd, this black man, just reacted viscerally to the whole incident, and he shot at the white woman coming through the window. And so they're trying to cover that. I mean, because as you know, Michael Byrd is not brought up on any charges. It was all dismissed. Mm-hmm.
With this one particular aspect of what happened on January 3rd, this one particular incident, I don't know. I don't know what to say about Ashley Babbitt, and it wasn't until 5 minutes ago that I knew that those two men got arrested. I've talked about those two men on numerous occasions. I never knew that they had gotten arrested. I assume that these are the men that the article's referring to. But, you know, there's just so much that's weird. And that whole John Sullivan thing was weird. And, you know, one of the things is Joe Biden himself went and said that this was a white supremacist crowd. And, you know, the thing is, so you had you had this black guy, John Sullivan, walking around with his white woman inside what's supposedly a white supremacist rally, a white supremacist riot, and he felt completely safe. You know, he's giving an interview. I mean, you know, he's just walking around. And of course, there were other black men there walking around with their white girlfriends. And this white supremacist crowd didn't seem to care about it. But just getting back to John Sullivan and his camera lady, his camera blonde, can we say that? It was very odd because, you know, they went in through the front of the Capitol, in through the windows or doors that had been broken open by Oath Keepers and Proud Boys, right? And they filmed themselves walking through that entrance to the Capitol, and you know, John Sullivan was filmed saying, "Wow, this is great. You know, we're going to be able to record all of this." And then he happens to be right there, giving like a real time report on what's going on as Ashley Babbitt's being shot. And he's saying he's got a gun seconds before Ashley Babbitt was shot. Like, you know, he's going on there to record events. And then of course later that evening he was on Anderson Cooper's show. Like, I don't know what to make of it. But that's really weird, and I would like somebody to get to the bottom of that. And, you know, Tucker Carlson's not moving in that direction.
So just to clarify what I've researched just really quickly and strictly on the web. So Chad Barrett Jones is the Kentucky man that was charged with breaking a window near Ashley Babbitt that she tried to climb through. And he's from Kentucky. So the second man charged, And you can find Chad Barrett Jones on a Washington Post article on January 17th, 2021, and from Business Insider on January 18th, 2021. The second man from NBC News and his Zachary Jordan Adam from Pennsylvania was also charged with breaking the windows. And he's from Pennsylvania. So these are the only two window breakers that I could find. I'm not saying they're the only two that exist, but the two that I could find in the mainstream media that were arrested and charged. And that was after the fact, not on the spot, which is weird, because if I'm a Capitol Police dude and I see guys breaking windows, I'm going to arrest them on the spot. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you had this black dude. Then you had this black dude, Lieutenant Michael Byrd, Capitol Police dude, that freaked out and shot Ashley Babbitt. So I don't think they expected anybody to be shot. I think my personal opinion is that the Capitol Police were told to stand down and let these morons, who probably were all FBI informants, break the windows and cause damage. Black dude freaked out. Michael Byrd shot Ashley Babbitt, and they're like, oh crap. You know, now we've got to scramble, and they arrested these two other guys. That's what I think went down. I think the whole thing was botched. I do not think Ashley Babbitt was meant to be shot. I think they were meant to let these people break windows and do damage, you know, to try to further the whole narrative of
insurrection.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this black guy, acted out of character and defied orders.
Okay, so when you look at the whole cui bono, what happened as a result of this?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I think this black guy, acted out of character and defy orders.
Okay, so when you look at the whole cui bono and what happened as a result of this, well, as listeners to RBN know, and as listeners to the awesome Patrick and Jeremy show commercial know, that there was a way forward on January 6th. What needed to be done was to object to every single state, right? This is what needed to be done. I don't know if it was going to be done. As far as I knew, on January 6th, the Republican senators, there were plenty of House members that were willing to go along with. The Republican senators seemed to be willing to object to Arizona, Georgia, and one other state. I think they're only going to object to 3 states. That's all that I had heard ahead of time. And Arizona did get objected to. And it was when they were in the midst of debating the Arizona. And the states are alphabetical. And so nobody objected to Alaska. Nobody objected to Alabama. Alabama and Alaska were the first two. Then Arizona came up and there was an objection. They retired to the Senate members retired to the Senate chambers. The House members stayed in the House and they started the debate. And then all this ruckus happened and the Capitol got the congressmen were evacuated. And so the whole process got shut down and never got started up. Well, I mean, it got shut down. And then when they reconvened in the middle of the night, everybody dropped their objections and the election was certified. So they got that. And they got that as a result, not of Ashley Babbitt being shot, but as a result of people going into the Capitol. That may well have been all they wanted. And that in and of itself may have been enough also for them to have the added benefit of trying to charge Trump with insurrection and use the 14th Amendment to take away his ability to run for office and all of this. The 14th Amendment or the 15th Amendment?
Let me recap real quick what you're saying. There was a path forward. The Jewish dominated elites knew there was a path forward. And they wanted to push this insurrectionist narrative. They wanted to allow, they ordered Capitol Police to allow agents provocateurs in conjunction with normal herditor, America, patriots to do this thing, call it an insurrection and use it as an excuse as to why they interrupted the process that could have naturally happened legally.
Well, that's what happened. That's what wound up happening. Whether that was a plan or not, you can debate. But it is absolutely what happened. Now, how many states were the senators willing to object to? How many were they planning to object to? Like I said, they let the first two states go without objection. And had they objected to every single state, then that would have delayed the process. It would have taken, because you have to get all these old senators to physically move from the House chambers where the counting takes place over to the Senate chambers on the opposite side of a very, very large building. These are old people. Dianne Feinstein is, 89? And these are very old people. They don't move fast. And then they have to debate for 2 hours. So every state necessarily means 3 hours. And if you're talking about 50 states or even 48 states, and then District of Columbia also has electoral votes, you're talking about, and then they can't do it 24 hours round the clock. So this would have dragged it out by 24 hour, by 2 weeks, potentially to Inauguration Day or even day or two later. And it would have riveted the attention of the public onto this process. It would have given a platform to all of this evidence that people like Rudy Giuliani had been accumulating and been trying unsuccessfully to get in front of courts. It could have been in front of the court of the American people. And were they willing to do this? Well, I did not see evidence that they were willing to do it. But after the fact, Peter Navarro, who was Trump's economic advisor and was close to Trump, was a pro-Trump member of the Trump administration, a very rare animal indeed. Peter Navarro said that actually that's what they were planning on doing. I don't know if that's true. You had dubbed this the Slattery plan, but I had, it's something, as a scholar of the Electoral College, it's something that a strategy that I had recognized very early on, but I'm not the only person. I know that John Yoo, Yoo spelled Y-O-O, a Korean-American professor, law professor, I believe Stanford, who was a fairly notorious official in the George W. Bush Justice Department. He had written a memo justifying torture at Abu Ghraib, for instance. He was fairly notorious, well-known, but he had written an article saying that this was a strategy. I didn't get my idea from him. I doubt he got his idea from me. It's just true. It's a strategy. So,
It was a logical strategy. That's why you both.
Yes, it was a logical strategy. It was a viable strategy. And regardless of whether Ted Cruz and, other senators had enough gonads to go forward with it, the Nancy Pelosi's and Chuckie Schumer's would have known it's a possibility. They would not necessarily know whether the Republican senators were going to do it or not. And so they had every reason to want to shut it down before the goyim know.
Well, the storming of the Capitol, the so-called storming of the Capitol, shut it down.
And so the goyim can't know.
Well, what I'm saying is I can see why people would say this is planned, because the so-called storming of the Capitol shut that whole process down that could have happened constitutional.
Yeah. I mean, that was the way forward. This business about Mike Pence just throwing out the electoral votes, that was on very, very shaky grounds. I won't say there was no precedent for it, but there wasn't enough precedent for it. It was on very shaky grounds. And that was the wrong way forward. The right way forward was through these objections. If Pence was going to throw out votes, he should have returned the votes as soon as they were sent to him rather than trying to do it on January 6th. So I don't like Pence, but I don't blame Pence in particular for that. The people who dropped the ball, the people who failed, were the Republican senators who were supposed to do the objecting.
But it seems like it's obvious that if the path forward was to object to every state and the so-called storming of the Capitol shut it down, I mean, it seems like that was planned. There were agents provocateurs there that brought people in the Capitol.
Yeah.
They shut down the only way constitutionally forward.
Yeah, I always try to be fair and not to pretend I know things that I don't know. So I don't know, but I am like 99% confident that, yeah, that was a plan.
Well, here's the question. Was Trump in on it? This is something that people in our circles are going to ask. Because he sort of people would say that he sort of pushed this in his speech. Huh?
No, I don't like to talk about this, but as listeners to RBN from a couple of years ago know, I was there. I certainly did not go inside the Capitol. I stayed on the streets, but I was in on the Washington Monument grounds with Jason from No White Guilt, and we did Stormfront Radio before Trump spoke, and then we did something. Was it with Sticks and Hammer or something? I think we did a show with somebody like that. And then we did David Duke's show, and we watched Trump's speech. And Trump's speech was a perfectly decent speech. And most of the speech, he was just like reading news articles, or he was reading the evidence from that Rudy Giuliani had accumulated. He wasn't telling anybody to riot. He was just reading. And I was able to listen to it even while I was walking down Pennsylvania Avenue to the Capitol grounds. I was able to follow Trump's speech, and I was also able to follow what was going on inside of the House chambers, which nobody else there was, because the thing is, everybody else there had their cell phones, and most of them were trying to use the internet. So many people were trying to stream that. If you were on the Capitol grounds, there was no way you were getting any kind of reception for anything. So when I was out on the street, I couldn't even from the street, not even from the Capitol grounds, from the street, I couldn't do the show, right? We had Richard Carey in the studio doing, subbing for me, and I was calling in. Well, if you go back and you listen to that episode, I was completely breaking up. I couldn't do it. So I had to call back in on a regular cell phone line, not through Skype. And even then the reception wasn't that good. And I was within sight of the Capitol, but I wasn't that close to it because you couldn't get any reception because everybody, all the circuits were overloaded. Now the reason I could hear Trump's speech, the reason I could hear what was going on inside the Capitol, me and probably me alone, is because I'm super boomer. And so I brought along with me a transistor radio with a 9-volt battery and I listened to C-SPAN radio, right? I just listened to AM radio. Yes.
The transistor radio. That is mentioned in Brown Eyed Girl.
Yeah, I mean, it was the radio was over 50 years old, but I had it, and it worked. And so I knew what was – I knew more than other people, but I what I didn't know was what was going on, you know, on the Capitol grounds, because I could see a crowd, but that was all I could see. And I had to ask Richard, and Richard, of course, had access to news reports. So I was asking – you know, I was on the scene, but I was asking Richard what was going on. You know, because people and I was not on the Capitol grounds. People who are on the Capitol grounds had no idea of what was going on other than what was in their field of vision. So the people on the backside of the Capitol, which is where most of the people were, had absolutely no idea what was going on the front side. There was no way they could know. It was, you were in an information vortex. The window breaking, or the breaking and entering, took place on the front side of the Capitol. The backside of the Capitol, there were two windows that suspicious looking people dressed as Antifa were trying to break. And I know this because I saw a video of it later, but I also heard in real time, I heard one of them. There were people trying to break the window, and then the crowd started saying F Antifa, F, you know, as an abbreviation, F Antifa, F Antifa. That part I heard, but I didn't know what was going on until later when I saw a video taken from a different angle, and you could see exactly what was going on. These Antifa-looking people, I don't know if they really were. They were probably feds. They probably were feds, not Antifa. But they were breaking windows, and the MAGA people stopped them. So, I mean, you had that on in two different places on the backside of the Capitol. So you had this big information vortex. Here's one more thing. Jason and I, we saw this guy come out, and this was a very cold day, but he had like taken off his pants or something, or he had his pants legs pulled up. And we said, what's going on? And he pointed to these big welts he had in his leg. And he said, I got shot with rubber bullets. And I said, you know, wow. So Jason started streaming about it. You know, I don't, Jason's streams from that day, if they're still up there, would be very, very interesting. But he's streaming, and the guy's explaining that they were being shot with. He said we were all everything was very, very calm, and then they tear gassed us. And then once we got tear gassed, things started getting kind of, you know, a little bit agitated. And then they started shooting us with rubber bullets. And he said the guy next to me got shot in the face with a rubber bullet. The rubber bullet went through his cheek. And then he spit it out. He said, here, I've got it. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out this rubber ball. You know, it's like a small Super Ball or something. That's what he told me. Well, if 6 months later or so, I saw footage from the QAnon shaman walking into, he walked into the Senate chamber and sat in the vice president's chair. But while he was walking in, you know, he's got these Capitol police walking with him, and there's some guy sitting in the Senate chamber, and the police walk up to him and they say, you know, can I help you or something? He said, no, I just got shot in the face. I got a hole in my cheek. And you can see this giant red bloody spot on his cheek. So like everything was, this stuff was all going on. I mean, I'm like absolutely convinced they were these provocateurs, that the police, you know, the police were not, a lot of the police had to be bad actors. There were absolutely agent provocateurs who were causing things to happen, and they got what they wanted. They got it shut down. The one way forward, which I don't know if they were going to do this or not. Peter Navarro said they were going to go on the Slattery plan. I don't know if that's true or not, but it was a possibility, and they got it shut down.
Well, that's the bottom line. I mean, there was a constitutional way forward, and it was shut down by the so-called insurrection activity of people entering the Capitol, you know, pushed by these provocateurs. So my question was Trump in on it. That's not even maybe relevant now. I've got another more important question. Why are they releasing this information now? Why is Tucker covering it now, right on the cusp of the 2024 campaigns.
Are you
picking up what I'm...
Okay, well, so I mean, just, I'm getting...
First, just to put it in elementary terms, they're releasing this now to get Trump voters all riled up. That's my take.
Well, people are getting riled up. And what are the motives here? And everybody doesn't necessarily have to have the same motive. There can be people can be operating with different motives. Just addressing Trump, the fact that Trump was such a failure as a president doesn't mean...
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
What are the motives here? And everybody doesn't necessarily have to have the same motive. There can be people can be operating with different motives. Just addressing Trump, the fact that Trump was such a failure as a president doesn't have to mean he was part of some sort of plan that he was collaborating with these people. I think Trump failed, but he failed not because he was in on some plot, but that the task is a lot harder than people want to understand. I always remember people calling into Stormfront and saying, all he's got to do is issue some executive order and that will fix the problem. Well, no, it won't. It's not that easy. You can have legal authority to order people to do things. That's not going to make them do it, right? It's a lot harder than that. And Trump was outmaneuvered. He was manipulated. And I don't think he really had the right skill set. So, and I don't think I don't think this is what our Jewish overlords, I don't think this is what they wanted. I thought they were running a victory lap. They could have had Hillary Clinton as president. Hillary Clinton would have brought in Victoria Nuland as her Secretary of State. They could have done this war on Russia 5 years earlier. And 5 years earlier, they probably could have gotten away with it. It probably would have worked. So I think Trump was a giant spanner in the works, even if he's a spaz, and he is a spaz. We only have a couple minutes left. There was another part of that question. Why are they doing this now? Kevin McCarthy might have exactly the motives that you seem to be suspecting. I don't know. Tucker Carlson, he's trying to manipulate everything into being about China. And in his show Tuesday night, he had promised people that he was going to show more footage. He did not show more footage. He had an interview with a not particularly articulate black police officer from the Capitol Police, who's a sympathetic character, but just that interview doesn't do much. He didn't have any new footage, and then he kept making references to China, saying, Mitch McConnell is just as in on it as Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, who lives off of Chinese money. And he never gives any backing for this. He lives off of Chinese money. Of course, he's married to a Taiwanese lady who's anti CCP or whatever. So none of it makes any sense. But you've got this massive push for, like, they're failing in Ukraine. Let's pivot to war with China. So I don't know. We're almost out of time. So Jeremy, what do you think?
My final take is that the system, the Jewish dominated system, would rather have Nikki Haley, in DeSantis. But if they can't have that, they would settle for Trump. But the most thing that they want, what they really want, is for the Trump tards, the Trump supporters, to still be engaged in the system. And to keep them engaged, they're throwing these pieces of red meat out about the Capitol riots and Russian bots influencing Trump to keep people invested in the system. That's my take.
Well, thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you, Patrick, and stay classy.
Thank you for keeping it classy, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't have
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle